January. Jane, 26, Montreal, Quebec.
Yeah, so what's the date? It's January 15th. Almost 2 weeks since we did this last. And the reason it's me doing this, recording this, the emergency broadcast came on, that's why. The emergency broadcast. Residents are advised to stay in their homes. I'm messing around with your tape recorder, Lowell. You hear me? I know you can hear me in there. I'm turning on your tape recorder and messing around with your tapes and reading your notebooks and everything, so you better come out of that room. Do you hear? Come out of my room! You're acting like a coward. Residents are advised to stay in their homes. Residents are advised to avoid travel unless absolutely necessary. The sound it makes. The radio. If I turn it on, it's just that frequency. That terrible sound that gets into your ears. Scratches your eardrums. Same thing on the television, except with just a few lines of warnings to read against a bright blue backdrop. Residents are advised to stay in groups. For more information, contact Services Quebec at 1-877, etc. So we tried calling the number, and it rang, and it rang, and it rang, and then it hung up on us. So we tried calling again, and it did the same thing, and so then Lowell started to freak out, and I was just trying to calm him down, and then we got into the fight. I want you to come back out and be with me. Because he's afraid, which is, I mean, I get it. I'm afraid. I'm terrified. So I had to turn off the television because of that fucking emergency noise. It's on every channel now except the fireplace channel for some reason. So you can either sit in front of a relaxing fake goddamn fireplace right now, or you can make your ears bleed watching all these emergency channels. I guess I could put it on mute. I could just put it on mute, I guess. I don't know if we're gonna be okay or what. We've got lots of food, and the apartment is a secure building with lots of people around us. But we don't even know what's going on right yet, so... Lowell, get out of my room! Lowell! He won't come out. Lowell! This is how it's gonna be, huh? This is us? Is this us?
Jane, 26. Wanda Frash, 32. Montreal, Quebec.
Hello again. It's me, again. Jane. Lowell still hasn't come out of my bedroom, which means that I slept on the couch last night, and I'm super happy about that. And I've been listening to his tapes, and... I've been listening to your tapes, Lowell! And I know all about Vicky and Sackville! Anyway, I figured I'd keep documenting events and people for him, because I'm pretty sure it bugs him.
I know he can hear me doing it, and I'm pretty sure it bugs him.
It also gives me something to do while I try and distract myself from thinking about how pissed off I am at him because I had to sleep on the couch last night. And so today we have a very special guest with us. His name's Wandafrosh, and he lives in the apartment across the hall from us in my building. Wandafrosh, would you like to say hello?
Hello.
And Wandafrosh, would you like to say anything about yourself?
My name is Wandafrosh. I live in the building.
And Wandafrosh, I was wondering if you could talk about what's happening in the building today.
What is happening?
Just everything that's going on in the building right now.
Yes. We're organizing a duty. A guard duty. With other residents.
What do you mean by guard duty?
There will be two of us, tenants, in the lobby, to allow entrances and exits. There will be one of us sitting at the end of each hallway on every floor.
And how many floors are there in this building?
In this building, there are 12.
And so all of the tenants have decided to patrol the building?
Yes. We will be working in shift and watching. Watching the building for everything not right.
And how long will you be watching the building?
Always.
Always.
We'll be watching in shift. All of the tenants, they have signed up for this.
Except for Lowell, because he locked himself in my bedroom.
No, even he is on the list.
Even Lowell is on the list.
Everyone in the building. We need everyone to be watching.
And what are we watching for?
We do not know.
We have no idea, right?
We do not know. But when people go missing, we do not want this happening here. No more.
Have people gone missing from the building?
People have gone missing. Yes.
From our building?
Yes.
Who's gone missing?
On the floors, the highest floor up, on every floor, people are going missing. So we need to be watching. The building is not safe.
You think the building isn't safe?
This building is not safe.
Should we move out of the building?
The government says no.
But do you think we should move out of the building?
Where do we go? It is not just happening here. It is happening all over the city. It is everywhere.
So, nowhere is safe.
Nowhere is safe. I do not think this. No. But with many houses, it is better.
And this is why you've started the patrol shifts.
If all of the tenants are watching, it will be impossible for as many people to go missing. If they do go missing, someone will see them go.
Why do you think people are going missing?
I do not know. I am a refugee to Canada. In my country, people, they have sometimes gone missing. But when people in my country have gone missing, you always knew who took them. If soldiers took them, or if terrorists took them, here you do not know why the people go missing.
The Canadian government says they think it's a terrorist organization.
This is not the work of terrorists.
You don't think so either?
This is not the work of terrorists. No. I believe it is something else.
Why do you think people are going missing?
I do not know.
When is Lowell supposed to go on patrol duty?
He is scheduled for the lobby at 8 p.m.
Then I need to make sure he is there.
Yes. Make sure he is there, because we need many houses to keep people from going missing.
Right. I will make sure he gets there. I'll get him out of my room.
Thank you for this.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say before I turn off the tape recorder?
No.
Would you like to help me break down a door?
Yes. It will be fun.
Hollis, 64, Montreal, Quebec.
So we're out here in the lobby, like this, 2 nights ago, around 3 a.m., and I'm actually on lobby duty with Wanda Frosch because he's filling in for some girl named Maya because she didn't show up for her shift. And Wanda Frosch is looking overtired because I think he's been trying to fill in a lot of the gaps in the shifts, to be honest. Because these shifts aren't the most fun of things, eh? You know what I mean? What is this, like your fourth or fifth so far? So, you know what I'm talking about. And I kind of understand why some people aren't showing up for their shifts, too. We're lucky tonight to get the lobby. But have you worked floor 12 yet? Floor 12 is so goddamn spooky. Worked the early morning up there last week and... just spooky, right? You're just watching this hallway, but you know the apartments behind most of the doors up there are empty because you've heard the stories about, well, the higher up you go here, and I've never worked in a morgue, but the early morning shift up there, all by yourself? I bet that's the same feeling you'd have if you were a security guard in a morgue, I bet. Security guard in a morgue. So, we're out here in the lobby 2 nights ago. Wanda Frosch and me, and Wanda Frosch, well, he starts kind of nodding off around the 2:30 a.m. mark, and I kind of just let him drift off in his chair, you know, because, well, clearly the guy's been patrolling extra shifts and needs the shut-eye. And around 3 a.m., that's when the snow starts coming down, all soft and peaceful-like. And I kind of just sit there for about 20 minutes or so, just watching everything outside get gradually blanketed by the stuff. And I think for the first time since they aired that press conference with the president and prime minister a couple of days ago, I'm kind of feeling almost kind of at peace, watching the snowfall. Everything quiet outside. The red neon of the cross on the hill shining off in the distance. I feel like one of those yoga guys pulling a downward dog or something. Like Zen. And then these flashes of light start happening. Like purple explosions of light in the building across the street, right over there, on like their third and fourth floors. These, all of a sudden, flashes of purple light all over the place, through the windows. Like if the building was a checkerboard and different squares were lighting up at a time. And quick, too, like flash, 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 like that, different windows. And I guess the snow falling had kind of lulled me into a bit of a trance because I didn't react or anything to the flashes at first. I didn't wake up Wanda Frosch or anything. I just kind of watched them, the flashes, checkerboarding themselves across the surface of the building across the street. And then the sound of sirens drawing closer and closer, and the next thing I knew there were cops and firefighters and a tank and the friggin' National Guard all congregated outside and storming their way into the building. Wanda Frosch, she woke up, and next thing this soldier is standing in front of the lobby door, knocking on it for us to let him in. So we let him in, and he starts asking us about whether or not we saw anything and all like that. So I told him about the lights, this checkerboard of the lights through the windows that I saw, the purpleness of everything. And then he asked us what we were doing, and so Wanda Frosch told him about all of our shifts and patrol work and how we're working together in the building to watch everything. And he told us it was probably a good idea to have everyone watching in shifts like we've been doing, and so then Wanda Frosch starts asking the military guy questions and asking him what's happening and everything like that, and the military guy, he looks at me and Wandafrosh and he says, "You know what an Etch-a-Sketch is?" And Wandafrosh has no idea what he's talking about. But I tell the guy, "Yeah, I know what an Etch-a-Sketch is." Well, that's what's happening. Except it's happening to us. And then he told us to keep locking the doors at night and to keep doing what we're doing and good job, citizens, and all like that. And all of them, the cop cars, the fire trucks, the tank, the whole works, they were out of there and gone in less than an hour. By now, it was around 4:30 a.m. or so, and it was still dark, and it was still snowing, snow blanketing the street again. And Wandafrosh told me not to let him fall asleep again. But he fell asleep again, like 5 minutes after that. And I just let him, because the guy needed the rest. A lot of action for a Tuesday night, eh? Or a Wednesday morning, whatever. This happened right across the street. That building that we're watching right now, the other side of that glass. I never told the wife about it. Edith. She's still not doing the best. Her nerves. And I mean, I'm still kind of processing it myself. Whatever it was that happened. So, what about you anyway? Is Jane your girlfriend?
Jane, 26, Montreal, Quebec.
Lowell is recording me right now because it's been more than a week and there hasn't been another press conference like they said there would be. So Lowell and I decided we should do another one of these recordings just to get our minds off of everything, just to break up the waiting around. There was a man who was supposed to show up for his security shift this morning and relieve me. I was watching the second floor. He never showed up, so we got Wandafrosh to track down the guy, and apparently the guy, well, he's not around anymore either. Either he left or whatever it is that's happening happened to him. Wandafrosh was pretty upset because he said he had been talking with the guy just yesterday, and the guy said he'd report for duty. All of this trying to make sure the patrols are happening and people are relieving each other is really taking a toll on him, Wandafrosh. He's looking pretty ragged. I mean, we've gone outside a bunch, but there's not really a lot to do outside. On Sunday, we took a walk downtown. There were lots of people down there, St. Catharines, wandering around like us. They were holding some kind of vigil down there. The street was barricaded, and there was some kind of group parade thing, with people carrying torches. A memorial parade of some sort. For the vanished, I guess. Lowell and I walked right through the middle of it. They must have been burning incense, and you could smell whatever incense they were burning. And lots of people must have been smoking pot. You could smell weed everywhere. And I don't know. Lots of police around, watching everyone. We walked right through all of that. Through that, and through Chinatown, and down to the old city. A lot of the roads down there hadn't even been plowed. Most of the shops and restaurants there were closed. We found one restaurant down there still open, so we went inside. It was almost empty, though. A group of seniors over in the corner, but other than them, it was just us. We sat down. There were these two men in their 50s, all dressed to the nines. Amazing service they gave us. Very classy, like professional waiters. And we asked them for menus, and they said, "No menus today. What would you like?" Lowell ordered a hamburger, and I had a club sandwich. And it was a really great club sandwich. Lowell loved his burger. It was a double burger with brie and bacon and caramelized onions, and I got out my purse to pay, and they just stared at us like we were crazy people. before trying to pay them. They wouldn't accept their money. "You don't understand," they said. "We are here until the end." And so we walked back to the building here after that. Sat around for a while, played some cards, had sex twice. Just waiting for another press conference now. The phone lines don't work in the building now. The radio. There's no news on the radio anymore. Stations that are still broadcasting are either broadcasting pre-recorded stuff or emergency information. Everything you hear on the radio just loops, or it's old content, like Dead Dog Cafe. Same with the television. They were doing short news updates at about 11 p.m. at night there for a while on CBC, but they haven't done that in the past two nights. They just played some old French movies with subtitles and the King of Kensington episodes. There's no new material, no new information. Like, the media is dying. No one in the building has internet anymore. People in the building are freaking out. I mean, they were freaking out before, but no internet kind of really scared everyone. One girl, Judy, we think her name was, went up to the roof and threw herself off. We could try going to Toronto. At least Lowell is feeling better now. He's looking better. Looking right at me. He's all furry. I love you, Lowell. I said, I love you. I figured it out when we were walking downtown. The way you held my hand, the way your hair kind of rustled when we walked. Your eyes when you looked at me on the corner of St. Catherine's and St. Denis. You can respond to me now, you know. It's okay to respond. He's nervous. I love you. He won't say it back. He won't say it back with the recorder on. He's shaking his head now. He wishes I wouldn't put him on the spot like this. I'm messing this up for him. I love you, Lowell.
Wanda Frosch, 32, Montreal, Quebec.
I am Wanda Frosch. And everyone else, they are leaving. I do not know anymore which ones have left and which ones are going missing. The ones that leave, they do not tell me, so I do not know. And now you are leaving too. At least you let me know before you leave. You do not just run out of here. The schedule did not work. People will not always show up. And then more people went missing. And then last night, someone went missing on their shift, on duty. Up on floor 12, and when they hear this, the tenants who were still up there, they all packed up and left the building. They said we were crazy to be staying here, and they told this to the other tenants. And now, many people are leaving. People are afraid to patrol the hall because of the tenant who went missing on his shift. I am afraid too. It is okay if you want to be leaving, but me, I will be staying. I will be staying here because this building is now my home. This was the first place that has ever been my home. Always, my family and I, where we are moving, refugees, no country, no home. When we finally made it into this place, it took 12 years. 12 years for them to approve. My family were not criminals. 12 years of interviews. And why? Why 12 years? What sort of documents take 12 years to complete? You could write the Bible in 12 years, and they have computers now, today. 12 years. Come on. You have got to be kidding me. 12 years. This place, this building, is the first place I have lived since I came to this country. Since I came to Canada. My apartment, that is my first real home with my own real things inside. And my wife inside. And my son inside. I am not leaving. My apartment is my home. This building is my home. Nowhere is safe from this. People must understand. Nowhere is safe from this. It is not terrorist. No one is claiming responsibility for this. People must understand this now. Nowhere is safe now. If you are leaving, where are you going? Where are you going to go now if you are leaving? You will be missed. I will miss you. But I will not go with you.
Edith, 64, Montreal, Quebec.
The snow outside coming down like this? Me and Hollis would never be able to make it, I'm afraid. Hollis is having problems with his knees. His arthritis is getting worse. And just the thought of him going out there in that snow. Nope, I can't let him do that. I don't care if he has a problem with that or not. She shakes you up, doesn't she? Jane. I'm glad they brought everyone from the upper floors down to the lower ones. Hollis was one of the ones helping to barricade all the stairways leading up past the fifth floor. Then they had to move everyone into the empty apartments down here. You two were lucky you didn't have to move. Wandfresh is lucky, too. I think we would have had to wrestle the man from his apartment if he'd been higher up. Here are our snowshoes. They're gifts. As a thank you for letting us move into your apartment. I mean, Jane's apartment. You two are together, right? Not much gets by me anymore. These snowshoes, now, they were a gift to us, Hollis and I, for our wedding. They were given to us by Hollis's dad, which is why we've held on to them, kept them all these years. You two remind me of us, Hollis and I, when we were younger. I hope you make it to Toronto, and I certainly hope they're doing better in Toronto than we're doing here. There is some advice I want to give you. First, stay together. You're stronger together than you are apart. Even if you feel like screaming at each other over the little things, you're stronger together than you are apart. Be smart about things and be smart about people. Every decision you make from here on out is going to count. There are no small decisions in life, so be smart about things and be smart about people. Stay warm, stay dry. Always eat a good breakfast. Eat a good breakfast because every day will always be uncertain. How a day is going to turn out, you never know what's going to happen. Chances are you'll need your energy. Maybe this will all be over before you get there, you know. Maybe the soldiers and the government will get to the bottom of this and fix it by then. Our grandchildren live in Calgary. I would very much like to see them again before the spring. When Hollis and Wandafresh get back from their watch, we'll have one last big meal together. How does that sound? Bagels and squeaky cheese and pickles and smoked meat sandwiches and baklava. You can still change your mind, too. Before the morning, if you want to stay. We're not so bad off here. I mean, I know things look bleak, but at least we're looking out for each other here. It's going to be a cold, long road for you two if you really do leave tomorrow. But I think you can make it. You'll make it. You remind me of Hollis and I when we didn't really know what we were doing either. We kind of just went for it, you know? And now, here we are. We made it this far.
Lowell, Highway 401, Ontario.
We're on the 401 somewhere, near the Quebec border or something, I don't know. There's this idea of fate, or something, that you can kind of get stuck in your head. Like, things are meant to be a certain way because of this thing that happened, or that thing that happened. You take things as signs, you construct your narrative, and then everything you see after that, you see it as part of your narrative, or your story, or your... We have a fate. Together. We have a fate! We have a fate! You fucking! We have a... So, that's how I know. That's how I know that she'll be back. Anytime now. Even though she left an hour ago. Even though I let the stupid fire burn out when I went to go looking for her. Even though I followed her tracks, and her tracks just stopped right over there. Right by the fucking... Forest line. She's coming back. She's coming. Jane! Because it's fate. What the fuck am I doing here? This is fucking bullshit! Jane! Jane! It's freezing. And it's fucking freezing. Jane! She's my big noise.
Fortune of Wolves was written by Ryan Griffith. The series was produced by Big Noise Audio Collective and presented by Theatre New Brunswick. The show was directed by Ryan Griffith with help from Gillian Hansen. Recording, editing, and sound design by Matt Carter. Music for the series was created by Counting On Downstairs with additional scoring by Matt Carter. To learn more about the series and the artists involved, visit tnb.nb.ca or look for the Big Noise Audio Collective on Facebook. This episode featured Kat Hall as the Chief Archivist, Jason McIntyre as Lowell, Naomi McGowan as Jane, Saw Andrew as Wanderfresh, John Ball as Hollis, and Bette O'Toole as Edith. Next time on Fortune of Wolves.
Things are really going to shit now, man.
And after I sighed, that's when I started crying.
It's just another shitty dive with a bunch of losers crammed into it. Trying to convince themselves that life right now isn't as shitty as it really is.
I shouldn't feel anything at all. Shouldn't let myself feel anything at all, but I do.
But we get that you want to help. So what I want to offer you is a ride out of town.
I'm going to have another. You want another?